The Mace, Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. The gang's all here. Now, Willie, right before we went on the air, said, "What are we going to start with today?" And I said, "Oh, you'll see." And gentlemen, I don't use the word hero very often, but Joey Chestnut is the greatest hero in American history. Joey Chestnut returns to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, 70 and a half hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes, reclaiming his title as the greatest competitive eater of all time. And I was thinking about this, guys. Greatest individual comebacks. Greatest individual comebacks in sports or sports adjacent events. And when discussing those greatest individual comebacks, who often comes to mind?
Joe Montana to me. You're talking about in the game.
Okay. Well, I'm Joe Montana.
You're just talking about individual, like got hurt, came back.
It could be that. But when we think about great individual comeback stories in major sports.
Is it really a comeback story?
Who do we often discuss?
Tiger Woods would be one.
Tiger. Jordan.
Bingo. I was thinking Michael Jordan.
Jordan
was the first person who came to mind. He unretired unretired after playing baseball. Well, he retired to play baseball. He unretired, returned to the NBA in 1995, of course, wore number 45. But guess what? Michael Jordan and the Bulls did not win the championship when he returned from his baseball sabbatical. Joey Chestnut returned from his one-year hiatus and won the championship. So as far as I'm concerned, Joey Chestnut here, Michael Jordan there.
So you're saying Joey Chestnut is like the Paul Bunyan, the John Henry.
I'm being tongue-in-cheek,
guys like that. Like greatest American heroes right there.
That's what I said. I don't use the word hero very often. But Joey Chestnut is the greatest hero
in American
history. Davy
Crockett. You know, guys like that.
I'm not actually saying that Joey Chestnut is a greater than Michael Jordan. But David Janes, if you will, if you have that George Shea clip, listen to this and tell me that it doesn't get your blood boiling, your juices flowing, goosebumps, all of that.
We are humbled by age in preparation for the great insult of death. But there are those who stand immortal, not through the grace of heaven, but through their own triumphs. I speak of this man.
Greek mythology.
Formed from the shards of shattered angels. Wielding the white sword of righteousness, standing as quiet as truth. Ladies and gentlemen, while we must all face the dark mountain of night, forsaken and forlorn, alone in the ruins of our own minds, he will never fail or falter, for he defies the ministers of our fate and the limitations of our birth. And he will not stop until he stands side by side with the gods. His glory is strung like beads of light to adorn the arc of history itself. Joey Chestnut!
Yeah! I want to run through a wall for that guy.
Do you think he wrote that or AI did?
George Shea.
I think AI wrote that.
He has a way with words.
No, I'm just.
He absolutely has a way with words. One texter already says, "Hot dog eating is not a sport. You should apologize to Derek and Willie for even discussing this in their presence." Guys, a little levity here. All right,
I got to give the guy credit.
Yeah.
For the presentation.
Oh man,
it's almost as if. And look, I'm sure they would never do anything like this. That they kind of wanted him to go away for a year so they could bring him back to do that. And then some other schmo can say, "Yeah, I won the hot dog eating contest. What year did you win? Did you beat Chestnut?" He wasn't there. But the guy can still kind of claim the title.
This reminds me of one of those movies or those cartoons where the narrator is hyping the guy up, and and everybody, and all of a sudden you see this huge shadow, and then this little guy just walks out. That's what that reminded me of. Like,
you were in New York this weekend.
Yes, I was.
You didn't think about going to Coney Island?
No, I didn't think about going to Coney Island, man. I was enjoying my time.
That is a bucket
with my family.
That is a bucket list item for me.
Listen,
to attend the Nathan's hot dog.
We were not thinking about Nathan's hot dog. But I did see Citibank Stadium as I was riding.
City Field? Yep.
City Field as I was coming from the airport.
I got my Mets hat on today.
Yeah,
and we'll talk to fellow Mets fan, Teron Davenport, at 1 o'clock, who was in New York at least one of the games this weekend. I don't know if he went to the entire Subway Series, which the Mets won.
Mets took two out of three. Yep.
Yeah.
Despite the depleted pitching staff, they still found a way to win the series. So,
about that. Drove by that, and I thought about Willie. So.
Nice.
You know, but New York was fun, man. I enjoyed New York.
Well, if you were near Citi Field, you were near Coney Island, so you could have slipped over there.
Nah, I wasn't thinking about Joey Chestnut. I don't think anybody in New York was thinking about Joey Chestnut, except the people that were actually there. I walked around the city, and I didn't hear much Joey Chestnut talk. Yeah, there wasn't a Joey Chestnut buzz.
The hot dog stands around town, they weren't like putting big flags up. Joey's back.
No, they were. It wasn't this Joey Chestnut buzz. I'm just telling you, I was there, Adam. I didn't feel the buzz of the Joey Chestnut.
That would be a great skit to do online by Comedy Central or Jimmy Kimmel, or anybody like that. Letterman would do stuff like that all the time. But go to all the hot dog stands for the random person selling hot dogs, because they're at every corner, as people know if you've been to New York. And just ask each vendor, do you know who Joey Chestnut is? And see what percentage. You'd probably get a wide array of answers, right? People completely clueless, and people like, oh, yeah, I love him.
I love Chestnut. Yeah. He's come to my boot.
Has Joey ever been here to your stand to sample a hot dog? Yes, he bought...
13. All I'm saying.
Does Chestnut eat hot dogs outside of the contest?
That would be the question to ask the vendor.
So well, you know what? Because I thought you guys would tease me for this. I also happened to look up some of his other records, because he doesn't just hold records for hot dog eating.
Okay.
That is what he is best known for. But here is just a sample of the other food eating records that he holds. Mm-hmm. He has consumed 257 Hostess donuts in 6 minutes, so that's the little powdered donuts, right? 81 Eggo-style waffles in 8 minutes.
Ooh.
103 crystal slider hamburgers in 8 minutes.
Whew.
23 Philly cheesesteaks in 10 minutes.
Ooh.
And 5.9 pounds of funnel cake in 10 minutes.
How big of a cheesesteak are we talking here?
Yeah.
I imagine a normal size.
It's like a
with all the fixings on there?
I would assume. All I know is that it said 23 Philly cheesesteaks in 10 minutes.
Because the bread is kind of hearty there. Can you dunk the bread in the in the water? What are the rules of the cheesesteak?
Why don't we try it out? How about a DVD Philly cheesesteak eating competition?
No.
It would take me 23 days to eat 23 Philly. It'll probably take me longer than that, because I get sick of it after about 10 days.
But 257 Hostess donuts in 6 minutes.
I don't think I've ate 250 in a year.
So let's see how much that is. That is an average of 43 per minute.
Gosh.
Don't hate the player, Derek Mason. Hate the game. That's all I'm saying.
But does Joey Chestnut, like, does he sit down and have a meal? Regular meal.
I have told this story on the air, but in case you missed it, several years ago, when I was still reporting on the Predators, they were in San Jose for a road game against the Sharks. And there is a public market with all these little restaurants and food stands and bars and things nearby the Shark Tank, where the Sharks play. And I was meeting a friend of mine who lived in the area for dinner. So I was standing outside this restaurant, and as I was walking to the restaurant, actually, I did a double take, because sitting outside eating with his partner was Joey Chestnut, who I believe is from the Bay Area. And I kid you not, he was eating a normal-sized meal with a fork and a knife and it was one of the most jarring experiences I've ever had. I had to do a double take. I didn't want to do that thing where I started walking, then walked backwards. Like, is that Joey Chestnut eating with a fork and knife? But I'll always remember that. So, yes, he does eat normal meals. I've
seen it one of those things that you sometimes you really don't want to meet your heroes because you actually saw your hero eating with a fork and a knife?
No. Joey Chestnut is not my hero.
It sounds like his hero, doesn't it?
I just have an appreciation for the craft, okay? The guy can consume incredible amounts of food.
Those that are listening, please call in and text and tell me if you think that he's Adam's hero. By the way, Adam is speaking about him. I think he's Adam's hero. So there's nothing wrong with that, Adam.
I'm getting that vibe.
Is there nothing more American than gorging on hot dogs on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Is there anything more American than that?
I can give you 20 things.
All right. We've got some time. I'll tell you what's also un-American. Shooting off fireworks on July 6th, which somebody in my neighborhood was doing yesterday.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't want to know
the
you.
Fifth,
I don't want to know you.
Pod,
yeah, it is. I was upset. They were lighting fireworks. It was what, Friday? They were lighting fireworks Saturday. I was like, this need to be over with. I got mad.
Yeah, that should definitely be a rule. Yeah.
Now, I know that depending on where you live, there are different laws about shooting fireworks. I believe in Murfreesboro, for example, they're a bit more lenient than in Davidson County. In Davidson County, it's illegal to shoot off fireworks.
They still do it.
But they still do it, and I'm okay with it on July 3rd and 4th.
Even the 3rd? You're okay on the 3rd?
3rd is like the lead up. So it's like the lead up. You know?
The evening of the 3rd, I'll allow it. And then on the 4th, that's okay too. Beyond that, you're treading into garbage person territory. If you're shooting off fireworks
with
after
the 5th being on Saturday night, you don't give a little leeway for that?
No.
I agree. But and then the 6th is just absolutely reason. It's Sunday night.
Yeah, it's cruel. You're just cruel.
And they weren't loud, but you could hear them in the distance. Boom, 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 boom. And I was just like, come on.
Then there's the whole other slice of people that do it during the day. When you can't, like,
that
fireworks.
People were doing it during the day on Friday.
Whoever
you can't
does,
even enjoy it.
Whoever does fireworks during the day,
during the day.
you need to be locked in the house and not be able to watch the fireworks for 10 years. When you should be able to not come out of your house on the 4th of July for 10 years straight.
Straight to jail.
If you light them during the day. Here's the funniest thing. So we're there 4th of July. They light the fireworks across the because we're in Brooklyn, where Marcy and the kids stay. We're in Brooklyn and we're looking across the river. The Manhattan, and they were lighting all these fireworks. So we came back, we walked back, the fireworks went up. And then by the pier, right, we could see right down there from the apartment, the people started lighting all these fireworks. And all of a sudden, you saw fireworks going sideways. And people started scattering. We decided that the police did it on purpose to get everybody out of there. All you heard was boom, 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 and then fireworks start going sideways, and then people start scattering. And after about 15 minutes, everybody was gone. I was like, good.
Josh says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, one, he goes, it's his idol, meaning Joey Chestnut is my idol.
Yes, definitely.
And two, in Montgomery County, it's legal on the 5th, but no longer legal after.
Okay. Who would want to do it after the 5th?
Apparently some people in Adam's neighborhood, I probably could have been an earshot of in theory because I'm not that far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where they were coming from.
Yeah,
there were some loud ones on the 3rd and the 4th, and I don't love it because my dog freaks out and my toddler sort of kind of freaks out, but it's the 4th of July. We all have to live with it. Beyond that, at midnight on July 5th, that's it. That's okay. The end of the fireworks. Okay. Put the fireworks away.
Let's write that into law.
Okay. Well, I need
after
to get
the fifth.
Any council people listening, you can let me know. I'll help you draft a law of some kind.
Yeah. They're drafting in a bunch. I might as well throw that one in there, too. There you
Jay go. From Laverne says, Adam, that's your hero. Nobody wants to gorge on hot dogs. Well, nobody's gorging on them the way that Joey Chestnut gorges on them, but it's absolutely American to overeat. Especially on the 4th of July, and especially with
hot dogs. And that is what's wrong with us.
That's fair.
Because we're overeating. We don't need to do it on the 4th of July because Joy's doing it.
Let me ask one other question. Adam, do you have a fat head of Joy Chestnut?
Yes, do you?
Anywhere in your house?
My other question is, do people still have fat heads?
Yeah, like Gruden brought. Yeah. Didn't Gruden bring out a few fat heads that he had not too long ago?
I think so.
He has.
I do not have a fat head of Joey Chestnut.
We're going to get you one.
I don't think I've ever had a fat head. I have a fat head, but I don't have a fat head that you stick to the wall.
We're going
to
get you one.
Okay.
A Joey Chestnut.
Are the people who go to games and have the big pictures of people's
faces,
is that a fat head?
I was thinking around the 4th of July.
That's
kind of
sort of like a fat head.
I was thinking you might just walk up and down your street with that.
Yeah.
A mobile one, the mobile fat head. Is that still called a fat head?
I don't know. It's sort of like the Zamboni ice resurfacer thing that every Zamboni is an ice resurfacer, but not every ice resurfacer is a Zamboni.
Okay.
So
I think that's how you go.
Every big pitcher is a fat head, but every fat head ain't a big pitcher.
Because I think the original fat head was the one you stick on.
Yeah, you stick on a wall.
Yes.
Sort of a cutout. That sort of took the place of the poster that I always had. Like you get your thumbtacks and you get your poster from Sports Illustrated, your favorite players, Dr. J, Magic, Bird. You know, I had them all.
Put them on your wall.
All the Mets, Keith Hernandez, and you know, it's hard because all these little holes end up in your wall, and you're moving stuff around, and they get kind of, you know, they wear out.
Yeah, after a while, you get some new ones.
That was a breakthrough because you just stick it on the wall. Yeah.
Now
the fat heads are mobile. Like at every college basketball game, you got fat heads.
But there's that a fat head.
Did you have your Olivia Newton-John poster on your wall too?
What?
Who?
Did you have your Olivia Newton-John poster on the wall?
No, I didn't have that.
I didn't have posters of the girls.
Your Tiffany Amber Thiessen poster on the wall?
I had no pictures of girls. I certainly
I had a Tony Dorsett. I had a, well, it was my brother's, but he was in a room with me. There was a Tony Dorsett poster. I think we had a Michael Jackson poster. We had Iceman. Do you remember the Iceman George Gervin poster?
Oh, that was a great one.
Oh, we had that one. Oh, if you didn't have that one, man.
Yeah, that's right. So they had some posters of just action shots.
Yeah, we had the Kareem action shot poster.
Right, where they had like a feel, like a theme to it.
Yeah.
And that was Iceman. Like he was in this like icicle.
He was sitting on his ice chair.
And ice ball. And with the ball. Basketballs. Yeah.
That was iconic.
Kids these days, they don't understand the meaning of posterized.
No.
Because nobody has a poster anymore.
Nobody does posters.
No, who does
Come
that?
On, people.
Come on.
So what do you call it now when you jam on somebody?
I guess it's still called poster.
David, you're the young one on the show. What do you call it?
I think the theme still.
Can you say it again? What was that?
So
posterized.
When you posterize somebody in basketball,
yeah.
You can't really do that anymore because people don't have posters. So what do kids call it now?
They still call it posterized.
Yeah. I think the term sticks. Just like there's
it's like a wallpaper.
A
it's
can
like
of
wallpaper
corn
in
baseball. Yeah. Yeah. It's really not a current reference. You know, you grab at the general store, the can off the top, you flip it up and catch it.
Yeah.
That really doesn't apply today, but you still say
but you still
a
use
can
it.
Of corn.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Some terms stick.
I learned something today.
No matter what.
Yeah. Michael and Madison.
Some terms are timeless.
Michael and Madison says, I stand with Adam. Joey Chestnut is a top five living American at this moment.
Wow.
So
again.
Whoa, that's
John Henry.
I'm not alone. He's not.
Davy Crockett.
They're not living. He said living Americans.
Oh, living Americans. Okay. So there's.
Davy Crockett's been dead for.
Spent some time now.
Known living American, Davy Crockett.
Oh, known living American. So, man. So what you're saying is he should have a Nobel Peace Prize.
Davy Crockett's been dead since 1836.
Yeah, he's been dead a long time.
He's not living anywhere close to it. 615-737-1025. All right. I just wanted to get my Joey Chestnut stuff in
there. You got it.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, are the Titans dangerously fragile around Cam Ward? I heard that on an interesting podcast over the weekend, and I want to discuss that. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Before we get there, the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend. At 1025, the game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race, R-A-C-E, now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. Davy Crockett,
King of the Wild Frontier,
who is very much dead. Derek.
Very much.
Very much dead. 1025 The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption this Saturday at Pella, 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. So we are roughly 2 weeks out from the start of Titans training camp. I know a lot of you are incredibly excited about that. And I do want to give a shout-out to Easton Freeze of A to C Sports, who wrote a story about our next topic. So shout-out to Easton Freeze of A to C Sports for bringing this to my attention. He wrote about a clip from the Athletic Football Show featuring Robert Mays and Derek Clawson, and they were discussing why we overrate and underrate certain NFL teams. And here are Robert Mays and Derek Clawson talking about teams specifically with young quarterbacks and why we tend to overrate them.
The quarterback teams that I think we overrate, where there's a little bit too much excitement on it, are teams with young quarterbacks, highly drafted quarterbacks, but everything else around them is really dangerously fragile. And I think the two most recent examples of that, two teams that underperformed their over-under total pretty significantly the last 2 years. The 2024 Bears had an 8.5 over-under. They won 5 games. The 2022 Panthers had a 7.5 over-under and won 2 games. Both of those teams had the number one pick at quarterback. Both of those offensive play callers were fired before that first season was over. So just because you have a shiny new quarterback, if you haven't gotten some of the other right, there is a decent chance you will not be as good as the market expects you to be.
That's a good one, where the young quarterbacks play into so many of the overrated and underrated ones, honestly. But the one where it, that's one of those things where regardless of how you feel about the player, right? Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, whoever it is, Trevor Lawrence even, if your team is picking first overall, you're probably not a very good team. And that's kind of what makes the whole Jaden Daniels, you know, Washington thing pretty spectacular.
Oh, the Jags is another really good one. I didn't think about the first Trevor Lawrence year. Oh, my God.
Yeah, where everyone is excited. Oh, we've got Trevor Lawrence. He's the best since Andrew Luck or whatever. I mean, I guess Joe Burrow was the year before. But, like, everyone was so excited about Trevor Lawrence. And they were not even close the worst team in the league. Like, far and away. And that was basically what happened with the Panthers again. The Bears weren't quite the worst team in the league, but they were close. And so, again,
mid-season firings. All mid-season firings from the teams that you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's like if you... Maybe it's specifically picking first overall that you should not get too excited about it. Like you should really take stock. Like, man, I love this new quarterback. This is a great shiny new toy, but let's chill out for just a little bit.
So that was Robert Mays and Derek Clawson.
Are people going overboard, like hyping up Cam Ward? Like can't avoid a little bit of it,
but right?
I don't really feel like he's being hyped.
But
up,
here's the funny part. So they have that whole discussion, and then this is how Robert Mays follows up.
This new quarterback, this is a great shiny new toy, but let's chill out for just a little bit.
Okay, how do you square that with like the tepid Titans optimism that we've both shown over the last month? It's gonna be so fun
really
when we forget all of this by August 20th. We're gonna forget everything that we've said on this show. It's gonna be fantastic.
Right. Classic summer football talk.
By saying the teams we overrate are mistakes we make all the time. I just lay out how this is a mistake we keep making, and now I have to stare dead in the face of everything I've said about the Titans. I don't know if
you're
like
just gonna
that.
Get swept away by your love for Cam Ward, and I'm not gonna blame you for a single second.
I might. This time's gonna be different, you know.
So that was Robert Mays and Derek Clauss on the Athletic Football Show.
But these are like the Athletic must be making them talk football, and so you have to. You have to create conversation, and sometimes it's hard to do so. So you end up twisting yourself into knots.
But I do think what Robert Mays was talking about there, the idea of teams with young quarterbacks being, in his words, dangerously fragile around those young quarterbacks. I'm wondering about that from the Titans' perspective, because I don't think anybody is overrating the Titans because Cam Ward is now the presumed starting quarterback.
Who is overrating the Titans?
No.
Well, you look at betting odds. Over under for the Titans wins 5.5. Not a huge jump.
That's
from
less than the two examples that they just used with Bryce Young and
so it's less
Caleb
about
Williams.
That for me, but it's more about this idea of being dangerously fragile. Those are the two words that I honed in on when listening to this. Because when you look at what the Titans have done offensively, on paper you see an improved offensive line, at least we think we do.
Mm-hmm.
We see Calvin Ridley at the top of the wide receiver depth chart. You have some intriguing mid-round draft pick wide receivers in DK and Io Manor. You bring in Tyler Lockett. Tight end is still a bit of a question mark. So I'm looking more specifically, Derek,
mm-hmm.
on defense, because I do think the Titans are dangerously fragile on defense. We don't know the status of L'Jarius Sneed. Edge rusher is a concern. How are they going to get to the quarterback? And we talked about this last week, Derek, about how there are going to be plenty of people who mm-hmm. watch the Titans. Or actually, let me rephrase that. There are going to be plenty of people who don't watch the Titans, who see the Titans. Let's say they check in halfway through the season. Oh, the Titans are, they're 3-7. Cam Ward must be pretty bad, without really digging into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the defense is, to use the words from Robert Mays, dangerously fragile around Cam Ward.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. You know, the best, one of the best things you can have for a young quarterback is a really good defense. Because if I have to go out each and every week as an offensive coordinator and try to score 30 points or 25 points a game because our defense is giving up 31 or 26 points a game, I think you can kind of mess up or you can kind of put the quarterback in a position where, you know, he may not be maturing the way he needs to, or you're not giving him the time as an organization to mature. So is it developing a quarterback, or is it winning, trying to win football games? Which one is it? Because, you know, if it's developing quarterbacks, if your defense is giving up 26 and you're trying to get 25, you're not developing that quarterback the way you want to. You want a defense, and I play with defenses that have had, you know, whether it be quarterbacks still developing or young quarterbacks, where the defense had to carry the load and had to each and every game hold teams under 17 points, and they were able to do it. And it made it easier for us as an offense, in a sense, to stick with the plan, stick with what we're doing. Joe Flacco, let's stick with what we're doing as far as developing him as a quarterback. Why? Because our defense is only giving up 14, you know, 15 points a game. So we can manage to win more games, you know, 17, 14 than we can, you know, 25, 26. It's just hard to do that with a young quarterback. So the Titans defense, it has to be, because they play good in certain areas, but then certain areas they didn't. The one area I think is going to be key is how many times they put the quarterback on his back and how many turnovers they get along with the third down or red zone defense. But first and foremost, if you don't give that quarterback enough opportunities to score, meaning stopping offenses, then you're not going to win too many games. So to me, you know, this defense, who's going to sack the quarterback for one? TD last week, he talked about Cody Barton a lot. He liked Cody Barton because him coming from, I think he was with Seattle, third-round draft pick. He's one of those guys that can be the sort of like the green dot guy, the leader in regards to that linebacker position. But he's a guy that communicates well with everybody based on what TD has seen. So they're going to have guys like him that seems to be unassuming. But we had a bunch. Look, if you go back, and you know this, you know, Rocky Kalmus and those guys. Who else was linebackers that played alongside of Bullock but didn't get the shine that Bullock got? But
David Thornton, I think. Yeah, was so a
guys
great
like
example.
that just did their job and command and was the green dot person,
right,
that put everybody in the right position and was the point guard for the defense. They're looking for that guy. Maybe Cody Barton is that guy, but not only that, they, like you said, they don't know if L'Jarius Sneed will be ready for the start of the season or not. I hope he is. I hope his injury heals fast enough where he's out there. But if they don't have him, man, and they're not getting sacks, it's going to be tough again, once again, for him.
The dangerously fragile theme that you're hitting here, Adam, I think plays out in what they talked about with the Panthers and the Bears here recently, and I'm sure we can find other examples. But I think by definition, when you have the first pick, your franchise is fragile in most cases. There's a lot of notorious teams that end up with the first or the second pick more often than others. Like, I think the Buccaneers were fragile for about 25 years for a while, and they kept having the first picks. But you're vulnerable to being fragile and making harsh, rash decisions, which we've already seen Amy Adams Strunk do. And so I think just surviving the year and hopefully doing well enough, whether regardless of wins and losses, that you feel good about the offense you're running, the play calling, the young coach that hopefully will grow to keep continuity. If you're not learning from history, this is the whole point of studying history, right? You have to learn where others have gone wrong. And I'm not saying Caleb Williams is a lost cause or anything like that. We'll see what happens. But there are so many quarterbacks that have played three or four different schemes, three or four different years, that can't help. So you just hope for some continuity there.
And as he said in that clip, I can't remember which one of the hosts said it, that's what makes the Jaden Daniels experience in Washington so amazing, for lack of a better term.
That was lightning striking.
Yes. So I don't think, again, I don't think anybody is expecting Cam Ward to have a Jaden Daniels-like season with the Titans and lift the Titans to the postseason and win. Did they win two games? They won two games in the playoffs, right? The Commanders?
Yep. They made it to the
– I don't think anybody's expecting that. But when I look at the infrastructure around Cam Ward, I see a slightly better – offense on paper, including the offensive line. And I see to borrow the term again, a dangerously fragile defense. There is a lot riding on L'Jarius Sneed. And as you said, Derek, we don't know exactly what his availability is going to be. And there's a lot riding on players to sack the quarterback who don't have a lot of success sacking the quarterback.
And you put all that together, and you have some fans, some media maybe, saying, well, why can't they do what the Washington did last year? It's just that simple for them. They won't listen to anything else you have to say about the roster or anything. They just say, well, Washington did it. Why can't we do it?
Well, why don't we?
There's one. And then the other part is the owner sometimes doesn't understand that you have – this is a rebuild. You cannot fix all the problems. You had the first pick for a reason. It wasn't a fluke. It's been building towards this, so it's going to take that much longer to build out of it, but some people are too impatient.
615-737-1025. Are the Titans, quote-unquote, dangerously fragile around Cam Ward? And Willie, you hit on something there about the Commanders. People look at what the Commanders did last season and hold it up as an example of, if everything just clicks all at once, maybe our team can do that. But maybe it's worth looking back at what the Commanders were able to accomplish last season to show just how difficult it was for all of those things to click at once. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trentix's Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time, celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at RockTheCradleNashville.org. This week's Nashville's best deal is Mellow Mushroom. There's no pizza like Mellow Mushroom Pizza. Stone-baked with fresh ingredients, next-level imagination, and limitless options for customization. It's a higher order of pizza. You know and love Mellow Mushroom. Now get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card is good for the downtown Broadway and Franklin locations. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, talking about the Titans. And if they are dangerously fragile around Cam Ward. I took that phrase from an episode of the Athletic Football Show with Robert Mays and Derek Clawson talking about how we tend to overrate and underrate teams. Now, as we said, nobody is overrating the Titans because of the addition of Cam Ward, but we all love the shiny new toy, right, guys? When we get that new toy, or in the case of our favorite team, we get that new player, you know, not a scratch on him yet, and everything, the possibilities are limitless. And I think that people tend to look at what happened with Jaden Daniels last year, and he was setting records left and right. The things that Jaden Daniels was able to accomplish for the Washington Commanders as a rookie quarterback, there are a handful, maybe not even, who have accomplished those things. How many rookie quarterbacks have won multiple road playoff games? I want to say
Joe
four.
Flacco.
Flacco did. Mark Sanchez did.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson did. And then I think Jaden Daniels. I think that might be the list. But Derek, when you think back to what the Commanders were able to do, and look, some of it is Jaden Daniels clearly is a special talent, and Titans fans hope that Cam Ward is a special talent. Now, all of the draft analysts will tell you that Cam Ward, in terms of talent, is not on the same level as Jaden Daniels. But when you think back to what the Commanders were able to do around Jaden Daniels last season, from what you recall, what were they able to do to usher in that type of success?
They didn't turn the ball over. I think he had, six interceptions somewhere around there? They were a plus one, and I know that's not something to, you know, gloat over, but they were not in a negative when it comes to turnover ratio. They were plus one, which means they got one more turnover than they gave. So that's first. They didn't turn the football over. And then their defense, I think they gave up 21 points, if I'm not mistaken, 23, I believe. But also with that, I think Kingsbury, I think he looked at what they did in Houston with CJ Stroud and how they brought him along slowly and how he didn't turn over the football and how their defense played well and how they got turnovers. And that's sort of like the template for a if you got to get a young quarterback, you got to get a rookie quarterback, you want to have those things in place to help out that rookie quarterback. And then, listen, there's luck involved in it all. You know, we look at the Chicago game where he throws a Hail Mary. There were a few games where an inch here,
they
inch
won a
there.
Couple
exactly.
Wild games.
Once a wild
game,
game.
In there,
yeah.
That was crazy mm-hmm. that they won.
So games, like, even with Joe Flacco, we won some crazy games, you know, some games that was like, okay, we got it. You know, we don't know how, a play, a bounce here, a play there, but we end up winning.
It wasn't our best game. They did have the point differential was of a team that would have a good record most years.
Yes,
right? They were
yes.
plus 95. So they did have that for sure. Things fell right, but mm-hmm. they legitimately good. I don't really know exactly all of the ins and outs of how they built the rest of the roster. I would say, though, that when they have been mediocre to bad mm-hmm. for as long as they've had, some of it is just you should stumble upon some good players over time.
I think
I feel like
some...
that's it. I didn't look at that roster and say, man, all they need was the quarterback. But I think I saw some good players, like your Terry McLaurin's and some guys like that, that there was just kind of due to have a year where things go right. They've had 30 years where nothing's gone right. Honestly.
One texter says, Matthew in Nashville says, y'all forget they also got rid of one of the most toxic owners in NFL history.
That's a big
yes.
part of it.
Dan
That's
Snyder.
A part of it.
Yeah. I'm sure he contributed to a lot of their losing. But again, you know, they allowed Jaden Daniels to tell them how quickly or how much they needed to give him each and every week. And with each every week, you saw an individual seem to absorb more and more of what Cliff Kingsbury was trying to do or he wanted to do as far as offense. And then I guess they just got to a point where they just opened up the offense and wasn't afraid to let Jaden Daniels truly take over. And then again, on the other side, when you have the defense, you know, making some plays here and there, being very opportunistic, that all helps out the quarterback. Did they have a bunch of just, you know, guys that all Pro Bowl guys? No, they had a solid team with a damn good quarterback last year.
One texter says, I think coaching plays a big role too. They got a veteran coach in Dan Quinn who came in knowing what to do. I think if Mike McCarthy were coaching here, we would have higher expectations. By the way, I think McCarthy will be the Titans head coach next year.
Say that again.
One texter said that.
He said Mike McCarthy will be the Titans coach next
year. He's calling the shot. Okay. He's calling the shot. He thinks that Mike McCarthy will be the Titans head coach next year. So, Brian Callahan, sorry about your damn luck.
I'm not sure if that's the case, but, yeah, I mean, I think your coaching staff, if you put it together right, especially for a young quarterback, and I think that's what Brian Callahan is trying to do more. He's trying to bring in more offensive-minded guys because I think he understands that, you know, being a head coach and being an offensive coordinator is nobody can teach you how to do both at the same time. You know, people can give you some advice, but it's almost like you learn on the fly. Vrabel learned on the fly. Even though he wasn't an offensive coordinator, he still learned on the fly as far as being a head coach. And I think he realized that. So now he's bringing in other offensive minds, one in particular, McCoy, that he brought in that has been an offensive coordinator, that has been on a really good offense or involved with a really good offense. So you bring in more offensive minds to the table to try to help Cam Ward in any way as far as his development moving forward. And the texter was right. When you get a coaching staff that their sole job, especially on offense, really is to make sure that this young guy progresses the right way, then you'll be able to tell very quickly whether, you know, he is your guy or not.
One texter says, somebody on ESPN radio over the weekend said that Cam Ward will be Patrick Mahomes 2.0 and the Titans will be in the playoffs. But I know Lewis Riddick, I don't know if it was Lewis Riddick who said this, but Lewis Riddick, high on Cam Ward, has mentioned the Patrick Mahomes comparisons, and especially at this time of year where we're counting down the days until training camp and joint practices and preseason games, and we need to fill the space by making these bold declarations.
Right. But he said traits.
It's the theme of the summer. It's the traits. Theme of the summer, you get this.
It's traits, not that they are trying
Correct.
To be. Correct. It's traits of the guy.
But you know that people conflate the
yes.
two.
Yes.
People
yes.
will. People.
There's your word of the day from Adam.
Yes.
Conflate.
Conflate.
Conflate. They conflate the two. They do.
Combine two or more texts, yeah. ideas, et cetera, into one.
Yeah. Yes.
To conflate. So people will hear.
What they want to hear.
Lewis yes. Riddick say.
Oh, wow. He's going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Mm-hmm. People will hear Lewis Riddick say, Cam Ward has qualities that remind me of Patrick Mahomes. And it will become, did you hear Lewis Riddick say that Cam right. Ward will be the next Patrick Mahomes?
That would be the example of conflate.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think this is why I always bring up, if you're the Titans, you're better off tempering expectations when you can. Mm-hmm. Be excited, but also be realistic. Understand that there's way more of a chance that there's going to be a lot of struggles, and the Jaden Daniels thing is a very, very rare thing. And as we just pointed out, Washington had struggled for really, if you want to say 30 years, that's pretty accurate, but they hadn't even been relevant. They remember they won, they got the division win at 7-9 when the Philly basically threw the game. They didn't play Jalen Hurts, right? They played a third string quarterback. To quote, give him a look on the last day of the year. And Giants fans who were watching the Sunday night game went nuts. I don't remember all the particulars, but I think that if the Washington team had lost, the Washington football team at the time,
yes.
the Giants would have snuck in as a 7-9 winner. But the Eagles, the speculation was they didn't want the Giants to win. They'd rather have Washington win. That's the only time they made the playoffs in 10 years. So the Titans have come, they're coming out of a window where they were going for it. They were trading for guys like Julio Jones. They were hanging on to veterans. They were trying to keep the window open, and they crumbled.
So there is a logical time frame where it's going to be a little longer to get back. So the Jaden Daniels thing is really not apropos. And, you know, and this is not to shortchange. Jaden Daniels was amazing. Maybe Cam Ward could be amazing. Can't rule it out.
No.
Could happen. But it's just not. It's much more likely that there's going to be a regular progression and development. Hopefully that ends up well.
You're going to see more than likely it will be, you know, it's in between, I don't know, as far as not wins and losses, but as far as, you know, it will be in between Caleb Williams, and I'm just talking about recent quarterbacks that have been drafted high. I think it will be in between Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, or Caleb Williams and, I don't know, C.J. Stroud, somewhere in between there. And what does that look like? Maybe the kid out of Drake May. Maybe it looks like that. If it looks like Drake May, then you're developing, because that's why I think Vrabel is, you know, everybody's so high, or people are high on New England, is because Drake May seemed to progress each and every week. Their team didn't get wins, but it wasn't because of him that they were losing the games that they were losing.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, we're going to talk about beef and not the kind you eat. I'll explain. 615-737-1025. This Wednesday, come out to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs and meet Nashville native and two-time IndyCar champion Joseph Newgarden from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Also, Big Joe Dubin will be on site for a special broadcast of Chasing Checkers from 6 to 7. So get out to Brewhouse South this Wednesday and meet Joseph Newgarden and get signed up to win tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix.